Mr. Carter, Reel 13. You were about to leave India and had reached Bombay.
Yes, we got to a transit point. And I piled up with a Crosby. He was on Scottish Border. He was a doer sort of chap. You know? And what we liked when we went out was to go to a Chinese restaurant. And we had the best fish and chips we'd had for a long time. However, there was a time I met a petty officer in the Navy, we paid up. And in Bombay, there's a notorious street called Grant Road, which is out of bounds. However, we went down it because it was during the daytime. Red Caps wouldn't be on duty during the daytime because all the business is done at night. And we started in the first class apartments. There was only one woman there. And he said, think on, he said, I'm the Navy patrol and you're the Army patrol. So in we went and he was talking to this one. But she wasn't having any of it, like.
This is a brothel, is it? The first class. The higher, the upmarket brothel.
Yes. And as he went down the street, he got less and less till you got to the bottom. They were all in cages. They were just like animals. So we came out of there, and we were walking down this street.
Were you operating on the way down, shall I say?
Just looking. Oh, no. Yes, we wouldn't go in them cages, but good luck. No, we should have packed in them. Anyway, we were walking down the street and up on the veranda was a lot more of these ladies of leisure shouting. So I said to him, let's go and have a look in here. So he went into one room and I was in another room and I was bargaining with these three. And in comes Naval Patrol. They coloured him. And I have a way back to transit camp. I saw him the next day. He said, you landed me in front of the old man, that's the captain. He said, he gave me a dressing down. He said, he'd got so many days, I don't know what they were in their punishment, but he said, it won't matter. He said, because I've been put into Madras. And he says, it's about 4 or 5 days to go, and he said, I'm way to the class. And that's the last I saw him. Anyway, time came for us. We were waiting on the ship. And time came, there was a ship.
What's like life in a transit camp? Most soldiers don't seem to like transit camps.
Well, they didn't bother you, because they knew we were on the moon and that. In fact, I think the sergeant major in charge just saw him and I said, up to the knees in blood, because they wear them red socks, you know. And he just laughed. Oh no, we could go out when we liked, and there was pictures to go to, Bombay was all right, had a nice meal there. And as I say, I piled up with this here Crosby. And time came, my ship came in. We boarded this ship. And I remember this Crosby, this jock, as we sailed out of Bombay. He said, goodbye, you rotten, stinking old. And he called India upside down. But you know, he hadn't seen the last of India, because we sailed up to Karachi to pick up another lot. You see, we'd been that long down in Bombay, that was another lot once waiting up in Karachi. And also, there was a lot of Poles, women, that had been released from Russia, and had come through from Russia through the Carapaz or somewhere there. And all these young Poles. Now this is the first time I saw battle dress. They were all dressed up in battle dress, and they were in first class cabins up on the top. The poor women, some of them middle aged and that, were down in the bottom, and they were suffering when we were going across there to South Africa. They were suffering with heat, you know. We had a good hospital on board, and we had to do duties.
What duties did you have to do?
We had certain posts around, you see, all around.
Were you in convoy, escorted?
No, in convoy. And we sailed across.
What was the ship you were on? Do you recall its name?
I can't remember its name, but it's got quite a lot on it.
Pretty crowded.
Pretty crowded. Yeah.
So it must have been.
These pools and.
It must have been very uncomfortable because you were in the hot climates, weren't you?
Well, we were used to it, but today's poor when we weren't. And I thought these young blokes up there should have been down there, and they should have been up there. So I had much time for the poles. Anyway, we sailed across. I think we went round Madagascar. And we call it Baira.
I'm sorry, I should have asked you, was this a troop ship or a civilian ship?
Civilian ship.
So outside of your duties, you would do just looking after yourselves on board, were you?
That's right. Yeah.
Leisure activities and relaxing.
Relaxing, that's all. And you just guard here and there. And I think so. We couldn't get at the women, but the sailors could. But, well, that's how we sailed across. We went round Madagascar, called it Baira, where we unloaded all these Polish women. And then we got to there and go to the and go to one of the colonies, New Generation, where they all came here. All these women. Because Baira was Portuguese, you know. Then we sailed into Durban. And that was a common sight from seeing all these, you know, these high hotels and
climbing up the hillside.
Sailed into Durban.
Did you get off the ship?
I think we were only there a day. And we were joined by three more ships, either two or three ships. And started off, and as we were getting near coming round for Cape Town, I knew the name of the ship, and I was reading the signal, you know, I was reading. I said, "We're going in first," and it was right. And we got to Cape Town, went into a transit camp. There were all different regiments there, you know, something going on. And on the first roll call, we had a bloke called Drinklaw. His name was Drinklaw. So when his name was called out, there was a strong Scottish voice at the back saying, "He'd better bloody well not." So then, they gave us a lecture. They said, "If you caught with any of these coloured girls, you'll be for it. Your charge will go back to England and you'll be charged." And I thought to myself, "Well, that's fair enough, like it should have sunk in. I mean, we were looking forward to going back to England." We were on an electric train. The electric train's there, and it's a bit of a ride into Cape Town. First night down there, everyone was with a collider of that one. I thought to myself, "How bloody daft can they be? I mean, these men never been with a woman for years, maybe years, and that and other, and they expected to ignore the women." So.
How did the people of Cape Town receive you?
Oh, marvellous, marvellous to go. But,
they take you around and show you places. And
well, me and my mate, a bit of one of them mate, we went into this park, and there was this girl sitting there, and my mate left me and went over to her. I thought, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So there was another girl further on, and she was reading a letter, and I went up to her, and I got on with her. And she said, would you like to come back with me to Pine Ones? No, I didn't know it. She worked in this old people's residence, you know, like nurses and that. And so I went, got on the electric train and we went to this Pine Ones. And I just went in the dining room where they were, and all these girls were there who were coming late, so I went to the table and they pulled me out. And we got on very well. I used to go on nearly every night there, stuck with her. And then I was a bit query, like, about were these coloured? Were they coloured, you see? So I asked the station master, I said, all these girls at the residence, I said, didn't any colour among them, is there? He said, oh no. He said, this is very residential, this, for whites, he said. He said, they won't even have a shop here, he said, to keep the maps out. So, there we were. So,
and you saw a lot of this anti-black attitude, did you?
Yes. I was catching the train to go to Parnham's when this Jock, Cosby, he was there on his own. I said, where are you going, Jack? He said, I'm going back to camp. I said, well, come with me. I said, there's plenty of girls where I'm going to. All right, I took him. And he got on with this again. Girl, lovely blonde she was, and smashing. And he went ahead over the hills, probably, you know. However, there was one time my girl and her were having an argument in Afrikaans, you see. So I said to her, uncle, what were you arguing about? And she said, something about you being English. And I said, well, and what did you say? And she said, I said to her, what about you with Jock? Oh, that's all right, he's Scottish. That's how far that went. We went in a pub once, and there were three blokes at the end of the bar, me and my mate, and they were talking. Some of the sorrows, they started talking, and they were saying, oh, we nearly beat them a few years back, them lot. We saw there was going to be trouble, so we just went down for it. And that's how it was with a lot of them.
Was this the Dutch element, as against the English element?
Yes, I mean, you could tell. But poor old Jock, he was... I don't know. I would call it the greatest love story there is. Because you can remember how he cursed India upside down. Well, when we came back, I had a letter from Jock. We were allowed 6 months in England before we were to post it again. Jock had already put in to go back to India. After he cursed it upside down. I know his intention was to sail around and call it Cape Town again. But he was unlucky. Alamein came along and he went through the Suez Canal. Then I had another letter from him. He was stationed in Bombay with a storeman. He said, I've arranged everything, he said, for her to come over and marry me. Next letter said she'd refused to come. Of course, I've just ended his war service in Bombay.
How long were you in this transit camp at Cape Town?
About a month.
And did they give you something to do?
No.
Training, guards,
no,
duties?
No.
So on the morning you got up and went out in effect for the day.
Yes, yes.
After the month, what happened to you then?
Well, after the month, when we got just to get ready, and we got all kicked out, we were taken down to the quay, and there was like these, not lighter craft, or something, you know, what you boarded, I don't know what to call them, you could get a lot on. And they took us out to the, into the harbour, and we come to this ship, and I looked up, and I said, my God, Queen Mary. Now, remember what this monkey said years ago, you'll go home on the Queen Mary. Well, it was, the harbour was a bit churny, you know, and a side, there was a door open at the side, and the lighter went close, and you had to take the chance and jump in. And we got in, our first lot got in. Maybe it was a good job, but the rest went back. Jock included, he went back. He brought me a letter from my girlfriend. He got on the next day. And he was still looking out at the harbour, and he said, I hope a Japanese submarine comes here and sinks this old tub. You wouldn't believe it, would you? A man could go like that. He was that much in love, like, you know. And I would say, the biggest love story I could come across, to say a Japanese submarine come in and sink this old tub.
What was the Queen Mary like?
Well, as I say, we were looking. We jumped on and we got the best cabins. Then that came later went down to the stern where boom, 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 boom. So,
how many men to a cabin were they getting then?
Oh, there'd be quite a few bunks, quite a lot of bunks in a cabin, yeah.
It had obviously been kind of cleared of a great deal of its sumptuous furniture,
so gone, just to take you in. Yes,
yes.
I mean, dining room was just tables laid out and that's, you know.
So it was just really a very large troop ship at this time.
Well, oh, yes, no, just a, yes. As we cleared the harbour, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm all right on this ship. Half the British Navy will be guarding this ship. So I said to one of the crew, I looked around, I said, where's our escort? No escort for this ship. No somebody to catch this ship. So it comforted me a bit, like,
what were you doing on the ship for the remainder of the journey?
Well, there were some RAF officers and that, and they wanted us to serve them the meals and clean the tables. And, so we did that. And the paid us, so that was all right. But unknown to me, if I'd only known, on that ship was my cadet captain, who was a chief purser. We landed at Greenock.
Did you have any drills and duties to do other than the ones that you just mentioned?
The airport drill and that. It didn't take us, long to get back to England. It didn't half move.
Was there a lot of inspections, deck inspections and so forth?
No. No, just like that.
And as you say, it wouldn't take long to get, because you would. Did you stop at any other spot on the way back?
I don't know. She moved. I think 5 days. I think it was.
Was it Queen Mary food or again basic army stuff?
Oh, you could get anything you wanted if you had the money on the Queen Mary at the canteen. Oh, chocolates, anything you wanted, because you. She got all the scars from America, you see. She was bummed up with them. All American stuff. I bought a lot of tin food, tin stuff and that to take home.
Your pay coming back to England wouldn't go as far as it had done in India, where there was a good exchange rate.
Well, still, I was all right, because I spent much time there.
You'd accrued quite an amount, had you?
Yes, I've quite a bit of money.
When did you arrive in England? Do you recall the date?
Well, it was getting on to spring. I think it was about May.
42. 43, sorry. 40. No, 40.
Yes, it'd be 43. Yeah. May. Mm. Yes, we landed at Greenock.
Where did you land?
We landed at Greenock. I did hear from a naval man who lives in Northampton. I told him I came home in the Queen Mary and looked at the Admiral escort. He said the Queen Mary did have an escort, but it was up to Greenock in case there was mines laid. This destroyer escorted it up to Greenock, and he said there was one casualty there. This destroyer crossed in the path of the Queen Mary and sunk her.
Queen Mary sliced her open.
Sliced her open, yeah. Mm.
But this wasn't yours?
No, nothing.
What were your feelings seeing Scotland, England for the first time? Scotland, so far as Greenock goes.
Well,
after being away so long.
I've been away that long, it was just another move. I had no, you know, getting tensed up or anything. It was just ordinary to me, just come ordinary. Just a matter of another move. I often thought life. But it did come eventually. Yes. The train was waiting at the quayside, and we all got on the train. We arrived at Darlington, and then it was a train to Richmond. Train doesn't run there anymore. And we were met there by transit and taken up to Gallagate Camp, not the Richmond Barracks. It was the Gallagate Camp where we went to. And we did go to the barracks to meet Paddy Ramsden. He was then in charge of the Richmond Barracks. And his RSM was the Flying Finn, so they knew his life. We were in our old khaki and all sorts. He spoke to us, and we then got fitted up with what was it, suits?
Battle dress and stuff. The usual.
Battle dress. We got our passes for a month, and we were sent on leave. Well, I got there in this barrack room, and there was this lad, he'd come from our 2nd Battalion, but he'd come before I came back. He should actually have been on leave. I said, "Where's the rest of them?" He said, "They're on leave." I said, "Why aren't you on leave?" He said, "I got caught talking to this here half-caste, South Africa." He said, "The charge followed me through," and he says, "I got 14 days, and I'm here for 14 days before I can go on leave." You wouldn't have credit like the man had been there all them 8.5 years, and a charge had come through and had given him that. Like, I think that was out of the tape was that. Anyway.
How did your family receive you after all these years? Things must have changed a little bit.
Well, when I got on the train, I went to Darlington. And I came in sight of Northallerton, and I looked out of the window, and I saw the church. And that's when I knew I was home. It all came back to me. And I went home, and my mother came to the door, and she says, "Is it Alan?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Why didn't you let us know you were coming?" I said, "I didn't let you know because I didn't want you worrying that when I was on the sea that you'd be worrying about maybe I got sunk or anything like that." So, I had a month's leave.
How did that go?
Very nice, very nice. We've done well there.
So you're now in, of course, Britain with all its rations and its greyness and so forth.
Oh yes, yes, but it was grand to be home.
That most of your people that you'd grown up with and your friends, and of course your family, your brothers must have been in the forces, were they?
Well, yes, there was my sister there. She was only a little lass, and she was now working. And my brother, who said to me when I went out, bring me a monkey back, he was already in the Western Desert. Yes.
And many of your school friends as well must have gone.
Well, a lot of them were away. Yes, quite a lot of them were away.
How did you pass the 4 weeks?
There was the dances and there was the pubs, you know. Plenty of women if you wanted them. I was on with her. She was a RAF, he was a staff officer in RAF, I was on with her, she was a company. Funny thing, she had been in India, she was born in India. And,
Richmond, of course, was surrounded by camps, was it now? It was a big camp area. Was North Allerton a similar situation with a lot of camps?
No, there wasn't a lot of camps in North Allerton. We just had prison that was Red Cat sent that for prison.
Military prison. And that's the end of North of the 4 weeks. Where did you go?
Well, it was Saturday night when I was due to return to Richmond. And I was in the pub with my brother. He said, aren't you going back? I said, no, I'm not going back. It's Saturday night. I said, I'll go back tomorrow, Sunday. Well, I went back on Sunday, and of course I was placed on the charge, being absent. And of course, I got wheeled up and I got 7 days CB. So I thought to myself, well, they'll pay for that, and they did pay for it as well.
You hadn't at this time been put into another battalion? You were just
We were there for 6 months.
6 months?
We were allowed 6 months before we were posted.
What were you doing over those 6 months?
Well, I was doing. I couldn't go much with those lads. There was about 30 of us in this back room. I think they hated the sight of us. Because we caused a lot of trouble, you see, with young recruits. You put them into bad ways. In fact, the rumour went round among the ATS. They've only been returned from India because they've all got had very difficult. Anyway.
So you're making up for lost time in many ways.
I don't know, but they were frightened of us in a way, and we had no respect for them because we classed them as dodgers, these instructors, you know. In fact, we see one who I told you about who didn't do a lally tap, wouldn't go out. He was an sergeant instructor, so you can tell what sort they were. And when sergeant used to come, we could see him coming.
Do you remember his name, this chap?
No, they were all different sergeants. I know the lads used to just open the window and drop down behind there and still carry on playing cards like they'd just look in and maybe I was there or something. As soon as that was over, I had a bicycle. And I got on my bicycle and I was away back to North Allerton. And I was coming back just in time for roll call, 6 o'clock. On my bike, 16 mile there, 16 mile back.
So the men who were instructing you were men who had not seen a great deal of army life or had been the wrong type anyway?
Well, they'd been jumped up Lance Corporal or something, 1st Battalion or something like that.
They were from the regulars though, were they?
Oh, yeah, yes. But I know there was one. They did get us on parade. On the square, and there's a wall right around it. And one of the lads said, "Oh, that's so and so." You know, I remember him at Portland and that. And he was going to try his voice out, you see. So he was marching. the marching away. And the word went around along the ranks. When he shouts about turn, keep going. He shouted about turn. We heard him all right, but we kept going. And we came to war and we just started marking time, you see. Then they took me, they took us anymore. Oh, good, you were on that. They never got us on for any more after that.